This is Nature Center's Coming of Age, a part of an archive broadcast, Nature of Things, for March 16th, 1990.
Last weekend, blessed with spring-like conditions, I traveled to Ithaca to participate in the celebration of Gatioga Nature Center's annual Maple Festival. I chose that event 64 miles from home because it chose me. I was asked to lead a nature walk. But I could have chosen to travel to Beaver Lake for my celebration of maple tapping or Baltimore Woods for a program on bluebirds by John Rogers. I don't know what was on tap, so to speak, at other Central New York centers, but I can assure you a trip to any of them would have proved rewarding, if only to observe the natural assets of the center. At any of them, you could be assured also of a healthy supply of company. Nature or environmental centers have come of age. They have the capacity to draw thousands of Central New Yorkers to a single event. Witness the Golden Harvest Festival at Beaver Lake, or the Pumpkin Day at Baltimore Woods. The Golden Harvest Festival started 18 years ago, if memory serves, as an art show, a cooperative effort between Onondaga Nature Centers and the Baldwinsville Art Guild. It was the year before I became director of Onondaga Nature Centers. There was then no building at Beaver Lake, and only a few hundred of our curious neighbors patronized the event. It has grown like a mushroom because creative staffers have been responsive to the needs or desires of its growing clientele. The Halloween celebration at Baltimore Woods had a more modest initiation. It started a dozen or so years ago as a campfire program with perhaps 30 or 40 participants, and again, a couple of creative staff members. What does all this have to do with the purpose and the role of the Nature Center? It's a valid question. Both of these events have strayed at least a bit from the original intentions, which were both centered on a celebration of our heritage in nature. But they have not lost their relevance as promoters of the centers and their programs. Both Beaver Lake and Baltimore Woods have gained relevance in the eyes of the public because of these frankly oversubscribed events. But then, oversubscription, and I admit that's my assessment, not the center's, means much-needed income. My years in Central New York, now approaching five decades since I moved from the place of my heart, the Niagara Frontier, have allowed me to monitor the progress of center development. I've been involved from the start. My first project was Rice Creek Field Station, whose genesis dates back about 30 years. At that time, no one conceived of it as a center for public use. Still, 5 years later, I picked up stakes and moved on to a new challenge at Sherburn because the college administration was unwilling to underwrite a public program phase for Rice Creek. Looking back now, I can be thankful they didn't. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to design and oversee the development of the Rogers Center and probably would not have been contacted to do the original trail work and program plan for Beaver Lake. These were pioneering efforts for which there were few prototypes. At both Rogers and Beaver Lake, there was a feasibility study done by the Nature Center's Planning Division of the National Audubon Society. Now, there were the real pioneers. Their efforts, along with the Cornellians' close attachment to Sapsucker Woods, provided the energy for my creative juices. I hasten to add that the growth of these centers has little to do with my original involvement in their initiation. It is the incredibly gifted staffs over the years who have unstintingly given their best to program development that have invested each with life and relevance. That and the growing awareness in the public that people can remain both spiritually and physically healthy only in a healthy environment. The public is increasingly environmentally aware. Nature centers have made their contribution to this growing awareness. The dilemma now is that our government, both executive and legislative branches, are remarkably immune to this common sense of environmental health. Sometimes it's difficult for us to understand their apparent ignorance. Who in his or her right mind would knowingly choose to poison his own air and water supplies, devastate his supply of energy and resources, and completely override the Earth's capacity to cleanse itself and recycle the essentials of life? Well, obviously, Congress and the President would do this. They are. But before we condemn them too soundly, let's examine the situation and what we might do about it. First, we have to take a long, hard look in our own mirrors. Our elected representatives act upon the expert advice they receive and upon the pressures put on them by their constituents, especially those who represent the local economy. That's jobs, tax dollars, campaign contributions, lobbies. The imperial presidency makes its own rules, and President Bush, who I perceive to be a good man, despite his avowed interest in environmental quality, is not performing like one who is truly environmentally aware. Most of all, however, both the President and Congress are operating on what they presume to be the real will of the people: jobs, no taxes, tough on communism. If they are going to be educated, it will have to be by the expression of our will, and in this, we'll have to be reasoned and firm, not radical and esoteric. I saw an indication of this perception at the Cayuga Nature Center this weekend, and I realized in this year of the 10th anniversary of Earth Day, we can get some answers about how to succeed by becoming constituents of local nature centers. See you at Bryce Creek Field Station, or Beaver Lake, or the Rogers Environmental Education Center, or Baltimore Woods, or the Cayuga Nature Center, or any place else where nature and environment are celebrated. That's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week, and keep it natural.